want to make it clear today that the sermon title is false advertising. Wandering without fear, it says. Well, that's simply not possible for us. It's not true that you can live without fear. It's not true, but it is truth, with a capital T. That's the sermon today. Wandering without fear is not true, but it is truth. So that's the end of the sermon. Now for the beginning and the middle. In Genesis 15, the word of the Lord comes to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid. Psalm 27 proclaims this word. The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my stronghold. Of whom shall I be afraid? Well, can you think of times when you have been afraid? I'm sure you can, just as I can. So, were those failures of faith when you were afraid? And of course, we're not talking about scary movie kind of scared, right? Or a big roller coaster or big spider kind of fear here, right? It's a different sort of thing. We're talking about moments in life when you lose the bearings of yourself, lose sight of being connected with others and with God, frightened about life and health and faith and security and the future. Although when I start to think about it, it's really quite a challenge to say exactly what kind of fear is being spoken to in that scripture today. The Lord saying, don't be afraid. The psalmist saying, with the Lord I will not be afraid. What fear is that talking about? So I tried to think in my life, when have I really been afraid? Not just scary movie scared. Try to think about that. It's an interesting exercise to go through in your life. I was afraid as a child when I got beat up on my paper route. I got mugged a couple of times. That was really scary. I was afraid when my first daughter, Anna, was born and childbirth was difficult and I wasn't sure if she was going to live, if she was going to be born alive. I was afraid on September 11, 2001. I was afraid when I got divorced. I was afraid when I slid through an intersection on snow right in front of a truck. So stupid, but I was scared. I was afraid when my teenage daughters weren't home on time. I'm afraid when my wife isn't home on time when I think she should be on a rainy night. I get really scared. I've been afraid sometimes in my life when I walk or drive, or I've been in places and at times when I wasn't sure about my safety. I felt afraid. And as I listen to my fears, a lot of what I hear in myself has to do with a concern for security for myself and for those closest to me. Sometimes safety, sometimes a sense of stability and security, sometimes life and death. And I suppose what runs all through that, too, is a deep sense of fear about my own mortality. I'm scared about that. And for those that I love and those that I care about. That's what I hear there in my fear. It's a challenge to try to do that, to try to listen to and identify my true fears. But then I tried something else, too, which I think is more difficult yet. I tried to listen to fears that are not mine, to see what other fears other people might have, people like you that I know, and fears of others, people that I don't know at all. As I try to do that, I realize often all I can really do is wonder about it, to try to have some sense of what it might be like. What is it like to have a spouse who is ill? What is it like to have a child whose health is struck, their well-being taken away from them? What's it like to have a spouse die or to have a child die? To face life with anxiety or emptiness, what's that like to feel like you are alone? What must it be like to wonder if your child will have enough to eat, or to know that your child does not have enough to eat? What does it feel like to not have a home, to not know where you can be, to not know if it's safe? What's it like to be in a place where there is war and violence every day, to have a bomb drop on your city yesterday and today, and to know it will happen again tomorrow? I wonder what it's like to be a black man and to be stopped by a police officer in your car, or to be a black teenage boy called over by an officer on the street, and to be afraid of what might happen. To have done nothing wrong, but to know that that may not matter, or to have done something wrong and to know that that may matter way too much. I wonder what it's like to be a police officer, placed on the razor's edge of life and death for self and for others. I wonder what it's like to be a refugee, when to stay home is not safe and to seek a new home is to risk your life. I wonder what it's like to live in a town where there is an influx of refugees that changes everything, and being unsure of your own stability in life, your own ability to live and work into a future. I wonder what it's like to know, because of your sexual orientation or gender identity, that people you love might reject you, or people that you do not know may hate you. I wonder what it's like to have made a mistake and to be in prison and there to endure things no human should, and then to know that once you are out of prison that there are few prospects for you. I wonder what it's like to know that your baby has been drinking water with lead in it. I wonder what it's like to be a child and not feel safe in your own home, that those who should be keeping you safe are doing you harm. That's a lot I've been thinking about, isn't it? It's a sobering thing to try to do. And what's so sobering about it is to realize it's just the tip of the iceberg. For us, around us, in our world. But as I've tried to do some of that difficult listening, there are a few things that have spoken to me about those fears. I do realize that in this world there are people dealing with fears that I can only begin to imagine, and about my own relative security in this world. And I realize that, as different as situations are, so much of fear does come down to all people wanting that sense of safety and security. And I've also learned that fear has a lot of power in it, turning people to do everything, to turn to them to despair or to violence, turning people to be brought together or to be driven apart. So I've been thinking a lot about fear, and I've been talking a lot about it. I haven't said too much about the Bible yet, though. I left off there with those statements and questions in Genesis in the psalm about not being afraid. But I'd like to get back to the Bible another way by listening to that gospel story. That story about Jesus and the word coming to him that Herod wants to kill him. And Jesus says, "Go and tell that fox that I am going about my work, God's work, and I will go to Jerusalem to complete that work." And then Jesus says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, even as you reject the prophets, how I long to gather you like a hen gathers her brood, her chicks under her wings." It's a strange passage. I love this passage. I so want to hear Jesus' voice as he said that response to Herod. "Go and tell that fox." I think Jesus is so mad here. I think he's seething at Herod. Why? Because Herod is a purveyor of fear. Fear is Herod's currency and calling card in the world. And Herod is brutally effective and successful with it. Herod will play a part later in taking Jesus' life. But Jesus says this to Herod, says this to fear. You tell that fox, you tell fear, I am going to keep doing my work. God's healing work, that is what is in charge of my life. And then suddenly, with great tenderness, Jesus speaks of how he longs to gather wayward Jerusalem to him like a hen gathers her brood. So here's what I think this story has to do with this fearful sermon that I have offered to you today. As people of faith who listen for the word of the Lord to come into our lives, who see in God's light and salvation the strength for true life, at the heart of our calling is to live our lives neither controlled by fear nor to be purveyors of fear. And you see the two sides of that coin so powerfully given to us in this story of our Lord? On the one hand, there is this righteous indignation from Jesus that he has toward the powers of this world that deal in fear. As people of faith, it is our calling to stand up to that currency of fear when it seeks center stage in our lives as individuals, as a community, as a church or in society, in political discourse or in theological declaration. Fear that inevitably diminishes and divides, that inevitably denigrates and destroys. We do not deal in fear, but in calling. We do not deal in security, but in healing and hope. We do not deal in survival, but in life. Because we are called in hope by the God of life. And then at the same time, we with our Lord share in this deep compassion that he expresses for all those in this world that fear holds too tightly. We share in Jesus' compassion for this world, a hen wanting to shelter her brood, our Lord says. Because there are far too many situations, near and far, in which the brokenness and the fear, it does not go away. It is present. And to open our eyes to such brokenness, it softens us. It softens us always first to be people of compassion and grace and peace as we try to understand other people's lives. It calls me first to try to understand others' fears rather than to simply protect myself from my own, which calls our lives to be about the work of Jesus. Today and tomorrow and the next day, I must be on my way, our Lord says. The way of healing that enters into places of fear in our lives and in our world. Well, that was the beginning and middle, which brings us back to the end with the false advertising. Wandering without fear. It's not true. It's not true that you can live without fear. That's far too much the case for many in our world today. But it is true that we do not have to make fear our currency or our calling. The truth is that our Lord has wandered into this world to do the healing work of God, to gather the brood of this world under God's wings. And we follow our Lord not for security and survival, but for healing and for life. So let us be gathered at the table to be nourished in that calling. Amen.